Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from...
With that being said, today we're having virtual, and so here we are. I'm going to preach to an empty room, but I know I've got folks watching, so I'm preaching to you today, and I'm preaching for God, and so we're excited about that. Me and Chris are excited to be here. So I preach at Chris a lot. I hang out with him. I preach at him all the time, so this ain't no different for me. But we're excited to have you tuned in today, and we're looking forward for a great message. You know, today is another example of God still being present even when things don't go our way. Yes, there's a pandemic going on. Yes, there's people that are getting COVID. But that doesn't mean God's word still doesn't need to go out. And I know that was one of Brother Dave's big things, is he wanted the word to go out today. He still wanted the word out from Richards Cove Baptist Church, and that's what we're doing today. If you've watched any sports here lately, you've seen that, you know, sometimes the starting quarterback gets COVID, and does the game still go on? Yes, it does. And what happens? The backup comes in. So that's what's happening right now. The backup quarterback's in today to preach, and then on Wednesday we will go virtual one more time. On Wednesday we will not be in person, but virtual. And Brother Tim Russell, the other backup quarterback, he'll be bringing the message on Wednesday night. So we're excited about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started to get this service kicked off. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. And we thank you that no matter what the situation is in our life, your word's still going to go out. It may not be with anybody sitting here today, but you said if your word went out, it wouldn't come back to us in vain, Lord, that it would come back full, God, that it would reach where it was supposed to reach, God, and we thank you for that. So today, let your word go out today, God. Bless those that are watching today. Let them get what you need them to get today out of this message. Let me get what I need to get out of this message today, God. God, forgive us of our sins before we take part in this. Let our prayers be heard today, God. Let them lift all the way to the heavens, to where you're at, God. And may you continue to have mercy and grace on us. And these things we ask in Jesus' name and amen. I know when the decision was made earlier in the week that we were not going to be in person, that we were going to be virtual, and Brother Dave asked me and Tim, you know, which one of us wanted Sunday and which one wanted Wednesday, and we decided I'd take Sunday and Tim would take Wednesday. I got excited. You know, I'm always excited to preach the word. If you know anything about me, you know that. And our topic today is something that's near and dear to my heart. Being the youth pastor and being the FCA representative for Gatlinburg-Pittman High School, you know, I deal with kids a lot, and I deal with teams a lot, different kind of teams, football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams. But I'm out there working with kids all the time. And one of the big things that come up in the sports realm, in the classroom, and really if we think about it, it comes up in our adult lives too in these realms, is the word being coachable. I'll never forget the first time I heard that in high school. Coach Hammonds, I got to play for him. You know, that's something he talked to us about all the time, and that's something the guy that did FCA when I was in high school talked about, was being coachable. You know, if you're going to be on any kind of team, if you're going to be a student in the classroom, if you're going to be an employee at your job, if you're going to be in church under a pastor and be a disciple to God, we got to be coachable. And we're going to look at what it means to be Now we're lit up again. All right. That's called adjusting on the fly right there, okay? So we've got that fixed now. Talk about the coach again. So today, though, we're going to be interactive, all right? I know you're sitting at home right now in your pajamas, okay? I know that you've got your thermos full of coffee. Some of you have it sweetened up with cream. But you know what? Today, to keep you energized in the service here, if you feel like it and you're able where you're at, let's stand for the reading of the Word, just like we do right here on Sunday mornings. And I'll give you a minute to get there. We're going to be in John chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 7 through 18. We're going to talk about the greatest coach that ever lived for just a minute before we talk about how it is we can be coachable for him. So John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. Let me give you a little background here. If you go back in John, you find a debate between Jesus and the Pharisees. You find several debates. And the Bible has this listed as debate number 5, the Good Shepherd. So let's read the Word. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. What a coach right there, by the way. Golly, what a great verse right there. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I know of mine. I thank God for that today. I thank God I'm one of his sheep and he knows me. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for this Word. What an amazing Word right here, God. Your words. You are the good shepherd. You are the greatest coach of all time. You exemplify everything that a great leader should be, and you did it perfectly. You gave up your life for your sheep. They only knew your voice because you are that great, God. You went all the way for your sheep. You went all the way to the cross for your sheep, and we thank you so much for that today. As we look into your life for just a moment today, God, may you give us what we need. As we look further into our lives and what we need to do for you to be coachable, may you give us what we need today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things we ask in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. Wherever you're at, you can get back on the couch and throw your feet back up now. The first thing we want to look at in being coachable is the coach. I have been very fortunate in my lifetime to play for great coaches in the sports that I played. My daughters who've played sports and are still playing sports have been very fortunate to play for great coaches. I've been fortunate to work for great bosses. I've been very fortunate, you know, in my time, I got to see coaches that didn't just worry about winning and losing, but they worried about the lives of their players and were they going to be better the day they walked out of the program than the day they walked into the program. I've worked for folks that worried more about the lives of their employees than they did the gains and the losses. Of course, gains and losses are important in the world. Of course, winning and losing is a part of playing sports. But when you get a great coach or a great leader that worries more about the lives of the folks that they're coaching and that they're directing and they're leading, then that becomes a great coach. And I'm going to use this example as we get into talking about Jesus. You know, we have a great coach right here at Richardson's Cove Baptist Church, Brother David Ayers. You know, he's our coach. He's our pastor. Yes, everything he gets comes from God, but he has been chosen to coach us. He's been chosen to lead us. And his job is not just to worry about how many likes he gets on Facebook for being a pastor or how well, you know, not just about the numbers of the church or not just about how many people are getting saved. His job is to lead us. We are his flock. We are the flock that Jesus gave him. And you know what? His job is to go all the way for us and to love us and to get us to another level. My job as a youth pastor, as a leader, as that coach of the youth department, is to get those kids to another level. It is sometimes we have to get them up here and get them out of their comfort zone singing, or we have to take them outside the walls of the church when we go to witness to somebody, or we have to give up a Wednesday evening or a Sunday evening to go work in the food pantry or 2 or 3 days. Yes, that can be uncomfortable sometimes. That's my job. My job is to impart them with the Word of God, but to bring them to another level. And how great an example was Jesus for us for that. Let's look at the greatest coach ever. The ultimate leader. Verses 7 and 9. Let's go back to chapter 10 and look at 7 and 9 first. Then said Jesus to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And let's skip on down to 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture." You know what? The first thing about the coach is he is the one. He is the one. He is the one that's going to make the big decisions. He is the one that's got the whole game plan, and he is the one. And you hear this all the time when you hear somebody hire a new coach or a new coach come into a team. Well, how good are they going to be? We don't know. We got to see if they buy into the coach. Why do they have to buy into the coach? Because the coach is the door. He is the one that everything's going to run through. Jesus is the door. He is the way, the life, and the truth. He is the only way. Did you hear what he said right there? "Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." There's only one way you could get to heaven. There's only one way you could get to God, and that is through Jesus. He is the door. There's no other door. There's no door around the back. There's no door around the side. Jesus is the door this morning. He is the man. He is the coach. He is the one we're looking to for salvation. He is the only way to salvation. He is the only game plan that will get you where you want to go in Christianity. There is no other way. Why do I say it like that? Because we live in a world today that thinks, I've heard it said, you know, well, if you're a good person, you know, well, there's multiple ways to heaven. No, there's not. There's only one door. There's only one Jesus. There's only one person that went to the cross, and there's only one way to heaven, and that's through his door right there. That's what makes him the ultimate coach, is there's no other way to the Father but by him. Now let's look at verse 10. Jesus not only came to give life, but he came to give it better. Let's read that right there. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I come that you might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. You know, I said it just a minute ago, the great coaches take what is considered to be average talent and they make it better. They take somebody that maybe comes in and doesn't think much of themselves, and they give them hope, and they not only let them do what they're doing, but they give them more than they could ever even think of. And Jesus is that guy. He not only is the door to salvation, he not only gave his life up for me and you, but that's not enough. He wants you to have a great life too. He wants you to have a great walk with him. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He didn't just go to the cross and die for your salvation and you get saved and then all of a sudden he's gone. No, that's just the beginning. He's got this amazing life for you after you get saved. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Because first and foremost, we didn't deserve to be on the team to begin with. He didn't even have to let us on the team. But he chose to let us on the team by dying for us. And then he said, you know what? I'm not only going to do that, but I'm going to make their lives even better after that. What if God was only the God of salvation? If God was only the God of salvation and not the God of our lives, you know what? This is what Brother David preached to every week. Empty pews. Because if it was just about getting saved and then going on back out and just living your life the way you was living it before you got saved. No, he not only came to give you life, but he came to give you life more abundantly. He came to make you better. He didn't come to just leave you at the same status. You know, doing FCA, I love it when I see kids that get it. You know, I'm around the program. I see them their whole 4 years. And I love it when that moment happens, when they really become coachable and they take that coaching and they go to the next level and all of a sudden things start happening in their lives that they didn't even think could happen. They're making plays they didn't even think they could make. And they get to the end of their career and they're totally different than when they come in as that little freshman. That's what God wants for you. You know? When that salvation comes to you and you have that salvation moment and you have that salvation experience, he doesn't want it to stop there. He wants to grow you. He wants to give you life more abundantly. That's what a great coach does. That's what a great teacher does. That's what a great boss does. They don't just want it to be okay for you. They want to push you to get the most out of you, to give you the best life they can give you, the best opportunities they can give you. Not long ago, I was sitting in the break room at work, and we were talking about something, and my boss, Miss Debbie Hill, was in there, and our operations manager, Miss Deborah Clifford, was in there, and you know, they were talking about, I do loans for a living. I'm a mortgage lender by day, preacher the rest of the time. And they were talking about something I was doing wrong. And they weren't jumping on me, but you know what? They were pretty straightforward with what they were saying, you know, about what I needed to do. And in that, they gave me some tips on how to do it. And I'll never forget, Debbie called me back that night. And she said, I hope you didn't take offense to us. We weren't trying to get on you. And I said, absolutely not. I said, because if you didn't care about me, you would let me sit back there and continue to make the same mistake over and over again. And eventually, I would get burnt out and I would probably leave. But instead, you loved me enough to tell me about it. And she said, yes, I did. Because you know what? I don't want you to be a good lender for me. I don't want you to be a good employee for me. I want you to be a great employee. I want you to get the most out of this. I want it to be an amazing experience for you. I know it's work. I know none of us like to come into work every day, but I want this thing to be the best it can be for you. That's what Jesus said in that verse. He's giving it to us abundantly. He didn't just give us life through salvation. He given us life abundantly every day. That's one attribute that makes him the greatest coach. Verse 17 and 18. Jesus is the ultimate coach because he made the ultimate sacrifice. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know what else a great coach has? He's been there. He's done that. Okay. If you're going to be a great coach, and people are going to look to you for guidance, and people are going to put all their hopes on you to get them where they're going to go, they got to know that you know what you're doing. Jesus didn't ask us to sacrifice before he sacrificed himself. He didn't ask us to do the things that he needs us to do as Christians before he did it himself. He made a decision to come to this earth as a human being. He didn't have to do that. He made a decision to be born of a woman just like we are. He made a decision to be a toddler just like we were. He made a decision to be a teenager just like we were, to go through the teenage problems of his days. Now, we all know Jesus was probably a little different teenager than we were. He made a decision. I mean, right now, we're talking about that he's in a debate with the intellectuals of the time, and he's, and in his infinite wisdom, he's even talking about sheep and shepherds, because that's what went on in those days. But he put himself in that position because he knew we would be in that position one day. He's the ultimate coach because he put himself in that situation. And before he asked you to sacrifice anything in your life, he gave his life. He didn't just give it on Wednesday and Sunday, though. He didn't just give it when the food pantry was open. He didn't just give it when it felt right to him. He didn't just give it when he didn't have anything else going on. No. He gave it all the way. Did you hear what that verse said? 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. What a coach! I can play for that coach. He's not asking anything of me. He's not done himself. Amazing. That is one of the most, when I was going through this scripture and reading that, I knew that. I know this. But man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, he went through everything that I'm going through. He went through temptation and stayed perfect. He went through trials. I mean, we see that he had friendship. We see that when Lazarus died, it upset him. He had emotions. He felt things. Yet, you know what? He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And that's what makes him the ultimate coach. He's not asking you today to do anything he didn't do beforehand. Okay? That makes him the greatest coach. So we've got the greatest coach out there. We play, if you're saved, we play for the greatest coach. A coach that will never be replaced. He never has to be his position. He'll never lose a game on Sunday and get fired on Monday, okay? All right? He is the greatest coach, and we get to play for him. So thank God for that. So when you play for the greatest coach, it's so important to be coachable. The first thing you have to do when you're figuring out a coach, you know, when a team brings on a new coach, or a business brings in a new boss, or a classroom brings in a new teacher, you know, and why do I talk about teachers? Because, you know what, I think teachers are some of the greatest coaches that's ever been out there. They coach every day. You know, and it's so important. Go ask a, you know, I'm married to a third grade teacher. go over there about 2 weeks before school lets out, when the kids know that they're about to get out and there's not that much work left to be done, and ask her how coachable they are. Ask a teacher how it is to teach a classroom of coachable kids and uncoachable kids. It's a massive difference, okay? But the first thing that we have to do when a new coach comes in is we have to figure out what their game plan is. You know, let's say that you played for a team for a couple years and they had a coach, and then that coach leaves and a new coach comes in. There's a great chance there's going to be a new way to do offense, a new way to do defense, a new way to try to score, a new way to try to stop folks. They're going to bring in their beliefs and they're going to bring in their system. So if we're going to be coachable, the first thing is you have to figure out what the coach expects of you and what the coach wants of you. And I believe Jesus lays out in Revelation 3 what he expects of us. Revelation 3, starting in verse 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These sayings saith thee, Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." First of all, that's a scary thought. God does know our works. I love it when we think we hide stuff from God, you know. Or you know, we hide something from the world and we're like, shoo, boy, they didn't figure out my secrets or the bad stuff. But you know what? We don't hide anything from God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wouldest thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Wow. So what does God want from us? Here's what God wants. He either wants you to be all the way that way or all the way this way. He either wants you to be ice cold and away from him, or he wants you to be 100% for him. He wants you to be hot. He doesn't just want it to be that he saved your soul and then you just went on about your merry life and never thought about him again. He doesn't want a sheep fold. He doesn't want a flock that's just standing out there in the just eating grass and never producing wool or never producing what it is that they were put on earth to produce. He wants you to be hot for him. Notice he didn't say anything about winning or losing. He didn't say you had to win so many games, or if you didn't, or if you lost so many games, you're going to be out. He'll take care of the winning and losing. He wants you to be hot. He wants you to be on fire for him. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit inside of you churning and working every day and out here in this world letting it come out of you. He wants you to be hot. He wants you to be hot in this church house. He wants you to be hot when we're singing hymns. He wants you to be hot in your job. He wants you to be hot in your sports. He wants you to be hot. So if we're going to be coachable and we're going to get to where God wants us to be, what's the first thing that we've got to do? I love this. I got this text from Hagen Sims the other day. Hagen, when he's listening to podcasts and stuff, a lot of times he'll text me when he hears something, and we talk about it and we share back and forth. And I got this. And why is it do we need to be hot? You know, I got to thinking about that. Why do we need to be hot? You know, if it ain't about winning and losing like it is in the world, then why do we need to be hot and why do we need to be for God? Because you know what? Why we need to be for him is because there is opposition. Just like there's opposition in a game, just like there's opposition. I got to thinking about what is the opposition in the classroom? It's a test. Man, I used to have great opposition with those tests. I don't know if you did. Man, if that teacher laid that test down, it was opposition. But the reality is the reason Jesus needs us hot is because there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on inside of you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we've heard Brother David Ayers say it, there's somebody new took up residence in there. Somebody new moved in to the carnal nature. There's a battle going on in there. There's just as Jesus is fighting for your life, There's another guy out there fighting for your life. His name's the devil. We read in our verses back in 10 that he came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give life. He came to take it. Hagin sent me this text the other day. I want to read it to you. The devil knows more about our destiny than we do. He will attack the things you hold value in. And when you are getting closer to God, he will then start attacking you. You are important. If you're going to be hot for God, you're going to get attacked. So how do we get hot for God? How do we be coachable and get hot for God, knowing we're going to come under attack, knowing that things are not always going to go our way? How do we get hot? And by the way, talk about lukewarm for just a second. I've been lukewarm before. There's stages in my life where I've been lukewarm. Notice what it said out of being, he either wants you to be cold or hot. The one thing he doesn't want you to be is lukewarm. And, you know, when we come under attack from the devil, that's when we get lukewarm a lot of times. That's when we go, you know what? I'm just going to show up on Wednesday and I'm going to show up on Sunday. And every once in a while I'll skip and do what I need to do. And I'm just going to make sure people know I'm kind of still hanging around. But you know what? I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to go do it the way I want to do it. And I'm not necessarily going to be hot for God. By the way, if you're there today, I've been there. There's a lot of us have been there. Brother Tim did a fantastic study on not being a fan, but being a follower, that really delve into that. I ask him about it sometime. But the first thing we need to do to be coachable, to be hot, is this thing right here. Man, and I'm just going to be honest with you. This first point of this, I don't like it. I had to go through it last night, so you're going to have to go through it with me today. Brother Chris, can we see this? Can we? Have we got this? Okay. Does everybody know what this is right here? That's a mirror. Okay. The first thing we're going to have to do to be coachable and reach the goal for God is everybody's going to have to take a moment and we're going to have to look in this thing right here. We don't like to do that, though, do we? Because to be hot for God, the first thing we have to do is look at His game plan. And let's go over to Luke chapter 9, 23 through 27. And He'll give us the game plan of how to get hot. And man, this is a tough one. I heard Brother David use it in his message the other day. He referenced it. And it's a tough one. 9:23-27. And He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Wow! We got to take a look in the mirror. If we're going to be coachable, it starts with a choice. Okay, the coach has done picked you. The coach has done died for you. The coach has done everything he's supposed to do for you. Now it's your decision. Now it's your decision to figure out who that person is in there. And are you going to choose the life that God wants you to choose? Is He going to be more than the God of your salvation? Is He going to be the God of your life? Is He going to be in your ball games? Is He going to be in your school? Is He going to be in your family? Is He going to be in your marriage? Is He going to be in raising your kids? Is He going to be in your work? We have to make a choice. I've been around teams that had players that didn't make that choice. It was miserable. They were uncoachable. They were unwilling to give up their life and pick up their cross for what they were doing. You ever been at work and been around that employee that is uncoachable, that is miserable, that every day despises every decision that is made, that is never happy? They're miserable to be around. They bring the whole morale down. If we're going to be coachable for God and we're going to get to that place of being hot for Jesus Christ and being on fire for Him, we're going to have to look at ourselves and we're going to have to make a conscious decision to deny ourselves and pick up our crosses daily for God. He said, what advantage is it to a man to gain the whole world yet lose his life? What advantage is it to us today to gain the whole world but be lukewarm or to be cold? If we're going to be coachable for God, then we're going to have to sacrifice us. And I know I don't like that either. I don't like it. I just want to get up and get to be whoever I want to be and still follow God and be hot for Him, but it doesn't work that way. We have to look in that mirror and we have to figure out, where do we stand in it? You know what? Pastor David can't figure that out for you. I can't figure that out for you. Brother Tim can't figure that out for you, okay? You have to figure that out for you. You have to take a serious look at you and say, where am I? Am I really being coachable for God? Or am I just going through the motions? The second thing is, we must be all in on the game plan. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Absolutely, I've read this. This is the verses that I start out with on any team that I ever speak to. I read them to the youth all the time. You know, not only did God tell you how to get to that place of being hot, then he's going to give you a game plan here too, and it's His greatest commandments. These two commandments work in any situation that you're in. They work in your job. They work in your home. They work in your sports. They work in your church. They work in driving down the road. Okay? If we're going to be coachable, we got to execute the game plan, and here's the game plan. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You want to be hot for Jesus? Love Him with your heart, love Him with your soul, love Him with your mind, and love Him with your body. And I guarantee you, you'll be on fire for Him. Every situation you come into, you'll walk out of a room, somebody will go, man, that guy's a Jesus freak. What in the world just happened? I mean, he's on fire for the Lord. You'll play a ball game, and you'll play it different. You'll go to work, and you'll work different. You'll be married, and you'll be married different when you execute that first commandment right there. When you give Jesus Christ everything you've got. When every decision you make and every way of life revolves around, is this what Jesus wants me to do? Is this where Jesus wants my heart? Is this where Jesus wants my soul? Is this where Jesus wants my body? If we're going to be coachable, we got to execute that. And then the second one. I love this one right here. Love this one. And the second is likened to, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You got to be the greatest teammate ever. If you're going to be coachable, you got to be the greatest teammate ever. You know, and we don't ever talk about it that much. It was talked about one time, but unfortunately, in churches around the world this morning, inside the church, we see strife and we see jealousy. I mean, if you've been in church long enough in your life, you've probably seen a church that went through something where there was strife and envy and jealousy, and it probably broke the church apart. Right here at Richards Cove Baptist Church, we have Pastor Dave as our senior pastor. We have myself and Brother Tim as associate pastors. We have Brother Eric Bohannon as chairman of the deacons. We've got deacons. We've got trustees. And you know what? We have to be each other's greatest fans. We have to be each other. We have to be a great teammate to each other. It's so important in life to be a great teammate. That is such a coachable skill, as being a great teammate. It's not looking over at the other guy or the other lady and being envious of what they got and sulking about what you didn't get. You know what? God didn't make me to be David Ayers. He didn't make David Ayers to be Scotty. He didn't make either one of us to be Tim, and he didn't make Tim to be either one of us. But you know what he did? He took those three individual teammates, and he put them together to make one thing. You got to be a great teammate. You got to cheer your teammate on. You got to love the person sitting beside you, no matter who they are, what they are, or where they've been. Because guess what? You've been there too. Maybe your sins aren't like their sins, but you've got sins. This is the one thing I believe has left our world the most and is attributed to some of the chaos we see in our world today. We've quit being a great teammate. We quit loving our neighbor. I don't have to agree with you to love you. I don't have to go hang out with you to love you. I don't have to get into what you're doing to pray for you. And to be a great teammate for you, we got to be a great teammate. If we're going to be coachable, we got to be a great teammate. We got to support each other. We got to lift each other up. Because you know what? There's going to be days where the devil whips my butt and I want to be lukewarm. And I need somebody to reach down and pick me up and help me. And say, don't forget about God. Don't forget about what he's done. Don't forget about what the coach said. He said we got to give him everything we got today. He said we got to sacrifice our lives. We got to take up our cross. Somebody may need to pat me on the back one day and help me along. You got to be a great teammate. And third, and we're going to end up right here. I actually texted Brother Dave about this verse the other day, and I was perplexed by a word in it. And I asked him if he would seek out the meaning of this word, if there was a meaning. He did send me something. And as far as defining the word, I don't know that there's a clear definition for the word, but God actually gave me a definition. If we're going to be hot for God, then we have to trust God. If you're going to make it to being hot for God, then you're going to have to trust God. I was fortunate enough to play high school football for what I considered to be a legend of the high school football coaching world, Coach Hammonds. And it was very known when you walked in that Coach Hammonds was the one there. He was going to make the decisions. It was going to be his game plan, and you were going to run it, and you're going to run it his way. And you had to trust that that was the best thing for you. And as players, we had to trust that even though we seen it on TV different ways, and we maybe seen another team do it, that was the best way for us is the way we did it. We had to trust in him. We have to trust that when David Ayers gets up here on Sunday morning, that he's a called man of God and that he's going to study that word back there and he's going to do the counseling and he's going to do everything through Jesus Christ. We have to trust that. We have to trust that with everything that's in us. I've been in multiple meetings back here. When Brother Dave speaks, we trust what he says. We believe that he's coming from a place of prayer and conviction of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we trust what he's got to say. That's why he's our pastor. That's why we chose him, because we trust that. We have to trust that if that teacher tells us 1 + 2 = 3, that it's 3. That it's never going to be 4. If you're going to be hot for the coach, then you got to trust him. You got to trust him with your life. You got to put your life in his hands. And you got to trust that even though you can't see the outcome of every situation, that what he says and what he wants you to do and what he's got for you is the absolute perfect thing for you. This verse right here, we're going to end with this, is John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that's the word I was trying to figure out, that, If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If you're going to be hot for God, then you're not just going to have to believe God, but you're going to have to trust God too. I believe that word "that" means trust. See, I believe when he was talking to Martha and Mary, I believe Martha and Mary, they knew the words. They heard it. They knew Jesus said he was the resurrection and the life. They knew, they had heard what Jesus could do. They had heard about what Jesus is. But listen to what he said right there. He said, "Said I not unto thee that." It's not enough just to hear the words about what Jesus can do. It's not enough just to come in here on Sunday morning and hear Pastor Dave tell about a guy that took a stick in his hand and hit the water and it parted, the Red Sea. It's not enough. You got to trust that it actually happened. You got to believe with all your soul. You got to trust it. When you trust something, you'll walk on it. You'll drive it. You'll go with it if you trust it. You ever went to walk across a bridge, an old footbridge that you didn't trust? I remember growing up, we had old footbridges across the creek to get from field to field. And I knew the ones that I trusted, and I knew the ones that I didn't. And the ones that I didn't, I went across them shaky. I was scared to death the whole time. And the ones that I did, my chest was up, and I walked across through there like it wasn't nothing. We got to trust God with everything we have. We've got to literally lay our lives into His hands and trust Him. We got to trust Him. It ain't enough just to hear the words. You got to put the words that you hear into action. You got to trust Him. So now in closing, this is where we would do a call to the altar. This is where we would invite you up if you wanted to come and pray. So here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to ask you, if you're physically able and you want to, you make your own altar there at the house. You find a place that if you need to get on your knees and you need to talk to Jesus. The great thing about God, He's omnipresent. He's not just at this altar. You don't have to come here to get a hold of God. This is a great place to get a hold of God. But God's everywhere. You know what? And God's demonstrating this morning, it doesn't matter if we're all here sitting in the pews or if we're sitting at home in our pajamas drinking our coffee, He's there too. And to the first people, I want to say this. If you look in this mirror this morning and you're hot, if you look in here and you say, you know what, I am hot for God, then I hope you pray that you continue to be hot. Just as Jabez prayed, I hope that you pray that your territory would be increased, that you pray that that God would protect you from the devil, that He wouldn't lead you to temptation, but He would deliver you from evil, that He would keep you on fire for Him, because you're going to come under attack. The devil doesn't like it. The closer we get to God, the madder he gets. So if you're looking in that mirror today and you've gone to the altar and you're hot, pray that it continues. Now to the next person. If you're looking in that mirror today and you're lukewarm, you're saved by the blood of Christ, but you know what? The world's just come a everyday motion that you get up and do. Yeah, you make it to church every once in a while. You certainly know you're saved. But you know what? You're just going through the motions of life. You know what, if that's you in this mirror today, I want you to stop wherever you're at right now, and I want you to pray. Because the greatest thing about God is you don't have to stay there. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. You pray right now that God fill you with the Holy Spirit, that He puts you on the track to be coachable, and that you take these thoughts that we've had today and you apply them to your life to be coachable, and you get there, that you get hot for God, that you get on track for God, and that God gets to use you the way that you were intended to be used. And then the third person, if you're looking in here and you're cold, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never accepted Jesus, I want to ask you something right now. If you're that person looking into that mirror, can you go back to a time and a place where you met Jesus? Be honest with you. Don't be honest with me. Don't be honest with Pastor Dave or Tim. Look right here. Can you look in that mirror and truly say that you could go back to a time and a place where you met Jesus Christ? Because if you say that and you don't remember that experience, you'll never forget that. So today, if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, maybe you're cold by lack of knowledge. Maybe you're cold because you choose to be cold. But if you're cold and you want to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I want you to bow your head right now. I can't pray for you, but I can pray with you. And I want you to pray this right here if you need help praying. God, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I want to be hot for You, but I don't even know what it means. I know that I can't make it without You. I want to ask You into my heart today, and I want You to save me, God. I don't deserve to be saved. I'm a sinner. I've done horrible things, God, but I know You're the door. I know You're the way. I know You're the life, and I want You to ask God right now to save you. I want You to ask Him into your heart. I want you to get to feel what it feels like to be on fire. I get to feel it. I want you to feel it. I want you to accept Him, because when you accept Him, He's going to impart the Holy Spirit on you, and He's going to live inside you. Thanks for listening to me today. God will never be stopped. Pandemic won't stop God. Us having people in these pews or not having people in these pews, that's not going to stop God. God will exist in everything. Never forget that. If you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior today, hit us with a message on Facebook or call the church. And Brother Dave, of course, will be out for a little bit, but leave a message. He'll get those messages checked. We want to talk to you. Hey, let's get hot for God and let's be coachable. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day. Help us, God, to be coachable. Thank You, God, for being the greatest coach. God, as we go through this, be with Brother Dave. Heal him, God. Bring him back here in fullness, God. And continue, God, even through a pandemic and even through chaos, to show us just how mighty You are. Forgive us where we fail You. And bring us back here next Sunday. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcvc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.